ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। I think before two weeks, we had our Brihadaranyaka Upanishad class when I explained the very word Brihat, Aranyaka and Upanishad. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We saw the meaning of that, the name of the Upanishad. Then I said why this particular Upanishad is called Brihad. Aranyaka Upanishad. Now also we saw the meaning of the very word Upanishad. And this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad consists of three parts and each part is called Kandaha. The first part consists of two chapters. The second part also consists of two chapters. Third part consists of two chapters. The first is called Upadesha Kandaha. Second part is called Munikandaha or Upapatti Kandaha. Munikandaha or Upapatti Kandaha. Third part is called Khila Kandaha or Upasti Kandaha. Each Kanda has two different words. Upadesha Kandaha. Then second is called Upapatti Kandaha or Rishika Munikandaha. Or Yajnavalkya Kandaha. And third part is called Khila Kandaha or Upasti Kandaha. So in the Upadesha Kandaha, the very word Upadeshaha means teaching. The first part deal with the teaching, discuss the teaching. So, Brahma Vidya is the subject matter of the first part. So, the nature of the reality implied by the word Brahman is brought to light, is revealed. Therefore, this first part is called Upadesha Kandaha. Second is Upapatti Kandaha, which we'll see when we come to the part. The last part is called Khila Kandaha, which is also known as Upasti Kandaha. So Upadesha Kandaha, Upapatti Kandaha, then Upasti Kandaha. I want you to know this one. The word Upasti is another word for upasanam. The word upas Tihi is another word for upasanam. Upastihi is a feminine gender word. Upasanam is a neutral gender word. Astihi, seat, being seated. Asanam, seat, being seated. So here, in the first chapter, in the first part called Upadesha Kandaha, there are two chapters. How the teaching is presented here, we have to see. And before I go in a begin the teaching, we have to study the Shanti Pataha of this Upanishad. And as you all know well, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad belongs to Shukla Yajurvedaha. Shukla Yajurvediya Upanishad. Therefore, the Shanti Pataha is the same like the Ishavasya Upanishad. Ishavasya Upanishad, which comes first in the alphabetical order, is a small Upanishad, the first, but which is called Mantra Upanishad. And this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad also belongs to the same Veda, it's called Brahmana Upanishad. So two Upanishads. Ishavasyam is a Mantra Upanishad. Brihadaranyakam is a Brahmana Upanishad, which means the prose form. The teaching is the prose form. Ishavasyam is a small Upanishad, but Brihadaranyakam is a big Upanishad. And here, I explained to you how anything, most of the mantras in Shukla Yajurveda are attributed to Yajnavalkya. Rishi. And usually the Shanti Pataha, which is there in every other Veda, has a prayer. Shanti Pataha itself is done for removing the obstacles. So Shanti Pataha is called peace invocation. Shanti Mantraha, Shanti Pataha means what? We invoke peace, peace invocation, wherein the mantras consist of prayer for the removal of obstacles in attaining knowledge. And as you know, in the prayer means a prayer for the physical well-being, prayer for the emotional well-being. Definitely there's two prayers will be there. And prayer for the conducive atmosphere, so that we will not have obstacles arising from all three possible sources. One's own self will not be a source of obstacle, or anything other than oneself will not be a source of obstacle. Even the nature will be, even the nature should not be the source of obstacles. Therefore, the prayer for the removal of obstacles arising from three different sources. And we call it Adhyatmika Tapaha, Adhi Bhautika Tapaha, Adhi Daivika Tapaha. So, Tapatraya Nivrityartam Shanti Pataha. This is how generally we understand Shanti Pata. Shanti Pata is meant for the removal of obstacles arising from three different sources. Therefore, we also pray for physical and emotional well-being. But the Shanti Pata of Shukla Yajurveda is very different. This doesn't have the regular prayer like in any other Upanishad Shanti Pata. And this is the Shanti Pataha, wherein the essence of the Vedantic teaching is given in a nutshell. The whole Vedantic vision is given in a nutshell in this mantra. Different. There's no prayer here. This vision is presented in this particular Shanti Patha. Very different from all other Shanti Pathas. And usually, the Shanti Patha comes the very beginning of the Upanishad. You always study the Shanti Patha. As soon as you open the textbook, you first read Shanti Patha, then you continue with the text. But for this Upanishad, Shanti Pataha does not come in the very beginning. The Shanti Pata comes in the third part of this Upanishad called Kila Kandaha, the very beginning of the sixth chapter, the fifth chapter. Because first part has first two chapters, second part has third and fourth chapters, and third part has fifth and sixth chapters. This Shanti Pata occurs the very beginning of the fifth chapter, the beginning of the Kila Kanda. Unusual. But later on, when people are printing the books, they change this. They put like how they print the Shanti Pata in the beginning of the very textbook. They also print this Shanti Pata in the very beginning of the Upanishad itself. Unusual. But still doesn't matter. We do not need to wait for the Kila Kanda. We can understand the Shanti Pata in the very beginning itself. Then we can enter into the study of the Upanishad. And this is only Shanti Pata where swaras are all only, we have only Anudatta, Udatta, Swaritas. There is no Swarita, Dirga, Swarita, Swaras. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. See, no racing. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Chyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. That's all. No swaras. No racing here. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. In every other Shanti Pata, you have Shanti in a different. Swaras are different. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Whereas here, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. The Shah has Anudatta. Anyway, let us see the meaning here. Om. After having studied the Mandukya Upanishad, I need not explain, I should not explain the meaning of Omkaraha. Isn't it? So, Om, you know very well. If you do not know, you have to go back to Mandukya Upanishad and re-listen to the mantras for the meaning of Omkara. Is very well explained. So, because Omkara is sound symbol of the Lord, the whole, it stands for Saguna Upas, Saguna Brahma, Ishvara, also stands for the Nirgunam Brahma Swarupam. Therefore, beginning any mantra with Omkara is very auspicious, an auspicious utterance. So, the explanation care of Mandukya Upanishad. Om, then Purnamadah Purnamidam. This one part, Purnat Purnamudachyate. The second part, Purnasya Purnamadaya. Third, Purnamevavasishyate. Sirf, take Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam. The word Purnam means infinitude, fullness, limitlessness. Purna means infinitude, limitlessness, fullness. And we have two words, Adaha and Idam. Take the first part, Purnam Adaha, Purnam Idam. The word Adaha is a third person singular pronoun. Like Tad, in Mahavakyam Tattvamasi, you come across a third person singular pronoun Tat. Tat in Sanskritam is that in English. And that stands for the Lord, the whole. Macrocosmic being, Ishvara, or Paramatma. And Idam means the third person singular pronoun, this. Idam means this. Tad means that. So, Tad stands for Paramatma. Idam means this. And this indicates the nearest self. So, this stands for Tvam. Adaha stands for Tad. Idam stands for Tvam. So, Idam stands for Jiva Atma. Adaha stands for Paramatma. So, this is a Mahavakyam, Purnamadaha, Purnamidam. That part of this mantra is a Mahavakyam. How it is a Mahavakyam? You know, Mahavakyam is a statement which reveals the identity between the individual and the total, which reveals the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. The Jiva and Ishvara. So that is infinite. This is infinite. So Paramatma, the Lord, the Ishvara is essentially of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness, fullness. This Jiva Atma, this individual also, is of the nature of, essentially of the nature of fullness, infinitude, limitlessness. If we say, when you use the term infinitude or limitlessness or fullness, there cannot be two things which are of the nature of infinitude. There cannot be two factors of infinitude. So how can we say Jiva Atma is infinite and Parama Atma is infinite? Here we have to take Jiva Atma and Parama Atma are different from the standpoint of the Upadhis. But from the standpoint of the Upahitam Chaitanyam, better learn Sanskrit terms. From the standpoint of Upahitam Chaitanyam. Upahitam Chaitanyam means what? The standpoint of the reality of Jiva Atma and Parama Atma. From the standpoint of Atma, the truth of the Jiva and Ishvara, they are one and the same. There cannot be two factors of which are of the nature of infinitude. There cannot be two infinite factors, things. This is a Mahavakyam. which means jiva and ishwaraha, jivaha and ishwaraha, jiva atma and paramatma are not two, they are one. How they are one? From the standpoint of atma, the standpoint of the reality, the truth, jiva and ishwara are one. Therefore, this Mahavakyam is correct. Purnam adaha, purnam idam. So here we take what? We take the nirupadikam, nirupadikaha jivaha, nirupadikaha ishwaraha. Jiva and ishwara without the upadis, or we take the upahitam chaitanyam aspect. From the standpoint of upadis, they are different. The standpoint of upahitam chaitanyam, they are not different, they are one. This non-difference between jiva and ishwara, jivatma and paramatma, or oneness of the truth of jivatma and paramatma, is revealed here. The word is a Mahavakyam. So, Purnam Adaha, Purnam Idam. It's very clear. See, when you have come to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you should have known what is Upadi, what is Upahitam. I assume you all remember those words. And that's why I did not explain again. If I say from the standpoint of Upadis, they are different. From the standpoint of Upahitam, they are non-different. If I say from the standpoint of form and name, there is difference. The standpoint of the essential nature, they are one, non-different. That is understood. Therefore, Purnam Adaha, Purnam Idam. Then, Purnam Adah Purnam Idam. Purnat Purnamudachyate. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Second part, okay? I'm repeating it. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Udachyate means jayate, is born, comes into existence, originates. Udachyate means is born, comes into existence, originates. Purnam udachyate. Infinity is born. Out of what? Purnat. So Purnat is what? Fifth case. You know that very well now. Purnat, Panchami. From the infinite, infinity is born. The literal meaning. From that which is of the nature of infinitude, that which is of the nature of infinitude is born. Literal meaning. The very, when you say Purnam, infinitude is that, the infinite is born means what? Infinite is born itself, wrong sentence. Infinite means what? Is free from all limitations. Therefore, it cannot be born. So, how you should take it here? Purnat, the Purnat stands for Ishvara. Purnam Udachyate stands for Jiva. So, in the previous part, you take the only Upahitam Chaitanyam. And here, you take Sopadhika Ishvara. So, Purnat is equal to Sopadhika Ishvarat. From Ishvara with Upadhi. Okay? It's a Purnat is equal to Ishvarat. Ishvarat means what? From the Lord with Upadhis. What is Upadhi of the Lord? Whole Jagat. The whole universe is what? Ishvara Upadhi. From the Lord with the upadhi from Ishvara. Purnam udachyate. So jiva with upadhi is born. From sopadhika Ishvaraha. Sopadhika jivaha is born. From Ishvara with upadhi, jiva with upadhi is born. A jiva comes into existence. Why we use the word Purnam for Ishvara and Jiva? Because already we understood Ishvaraha is also essentially of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness. Jiva is also essentially of the nature of infinitude, fullness. Therefore, both are implied by the word Purnam. Adaha Purnam, Idam Purnam, we understood. Now, Purnat Purnam Udachyate means Purna Ishvarat, Purnaha Purnat Ishvarat, Purnaha Jivaha Udachyate. From the infinite Lord, the infinite Jiva is born. Here, what should we take the meaning? Here, we don't take the here Sopadhika Ishvarat. Sopadhika Ishvarat, Sopadhikaha Jivaha Jayate. When we say Jiva is born out of Ishvara, how should we understand this? It is like saying from the total space, part space is born. We understand example, okay? From the total space, part space is born. Your own example. From the ocean, wave is born. If I say, whose birth do we talk about? When I say, from the ocean, wave is born, we do not talk about the birth of the water. Here, birth of the form wave is taken as the form wave is taken. Similarly here, upadhi. Birth of the upadhi. When I say from the mahakashaha, from the total space, part space is born, if we say, actually, birth of the part is taken to be the birth of the part space. Birth of the part is taken to be the birth of the part space. And when we say part space is born, we know very well there is only one space. There is no such a thing called part space at all. But still, we use this expression, part space is born, because the part upadhi is born. When the part is born, the space enclosed by the part is taken to be born. Similarly, when we say from Purna Ishvarat, Purnaha Jivaha Udachyate, from Sopadhikaha Ishvaraha, Sopadhikaha Jivaha Udachyate. Jiva is born out of Ishvara means birth of the physical body is taken to be the birth of the Jiva. Who is Jivaha? Jivaha is qualification. Jiva is a title attributed to consciousness associated with the given body, mind, sense, complex, upadhi. Therefore, birth of, just as part space is what space associated with the form part is called part space. So also the consciousness, Atma, the reality associated with a given body, mind, sense complex is called Jiva. So is Jiva born? No. Birth of the physical body is take upadhi, body, mind, sense complex is taken to be the birth of the Jiva. Therefore, Purnat Purnam Udachyate. From the Ishvara with Upadhi, Jiva with Upadhi is born. Which means Upadhi alone is born. Birth is only of the Upadhi. Upahitam is of the nature of infinitude. Upahitam of Jiva and Ishvara is one and the same, which is of the nature of infinitude, limitlessness, therefore, which has no beginning, no birth, no end, no death. Is it clear now? Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Now, we leave Ishvara alone here. Next part will go. Purnasya Purnam Adaya. When you go to this section, this part of the mantra, we are not bringing Ishvara at all into the picture. Purnasya means Purnasya Jivasya or Purna Jivasya. Of the Jiva. Purnasya means what? Of the Jiva, which is of the nature of infinitude, which is essentially infinite. From the Jiva, which is essentially infinite. Okay, Purnasya of the Jiva. Okay, possessive case, Jivasya. Purnasya Jivasya. What do you do? Purnam Adaya. Now we have to understand, first of all, Purnaha Jivaha means what? Atma plus body, mind, sense complex is equal to Purnaha Jivaha. Jiva, okay, other can say, Jivatma means what? Jivatma means Atma plus body, mind, sense complex is equal to Jivatma. And this Jivatma is what? Purnaha. Essentially, Jiva is infinite. Purnasya Jivasya means of this Jiva, which is Atma plus body, mind, sense complex. Now, Purnam Adaya. Adaya means taking away. Not physically. Physically, you cannot take anything away. Intellectually, cognitively, if we remove, take away Purnam Atma. From the Jiva, what is Jiva? Jivatma. Atma plus body, mind, sense complex. Purnam Adaya means what? If we take away the Atma. Atma, the consciousness. The reality. Now what? It's like saying, from the wave, if I remove water, what is wave? Wave is form and name plus water is equal to wave. From the wave, if I remove the water, minus water, we will feel like saying there'll be form and name. So we hear also Purnasya Purnamadaya. From the Jivatma, we remove the Atma aspect of the Jiva. Purnam Yeva Avasishyate. Avasishyate means remains. Atma alone remains. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avasishyate. Of the Jiva, if we remove the Atma aspect, Atma alone remains. Purnameva Avasishyate. Why? Body, mind and complex. We think from the Jiva, if the Atma is, removed, we feel like saying what? Body, mind and complex will remain. No. Atma alone remains. Which means body, mind and complex cannot be there. Upadhi cannot be there. From this, what is that lesson we arrive at? Lesson we learn from here. Without the upadhi, upahitam alone remains. Without the upadhi, upahitam will be there. Because upahitam is of the nature of timelessness, infinitude. Upahitam is equal to consciousness, Atma. Upadhi is equal to form, name and function. So without the upadhi and upahitam, together constitute what? Jivaha is also upadhi plus upahitam. Ishra is also upadhi plus upahitam. From the jiva, if you remove the upahitam, upahitam alone will be there, upadhi will not be there. So what is the lesson we learn from here? Upadhi does not have independent existence. Upadhi is mithya. Therefore, upadhi is as good as non-existent. Upahitam alone is satyam. So, upadhi is mithya. Upadhi does not have independent existence. Upadhi is as good as non-existent. Upahitam alone is satyam. So, Ishvara upadhi is also mithya. Jiva upadhi is also mithya. Therefore, but Ishvara upahitam and Jiva upahitam happen to be one and the only reality, which alone is satyam. This is what the lesson we understand. There is no Jiva upadhi is mithya. Our body, minds and complex, including our dearest ahankara, is mithya. The I sense which we use to indicate, refer to ourselves, is also mithya. The I sense is mithya. That, can we remember this? I sense is mithya. I sense is as good as non-existent. Even though we are using throughout our life, the whole life we live using this aham's I sense only. Without which something called life is not possible, experience is not possible, ends cannot be accomplished, but still what do we understand? Body, mind, sense, complex is upadhi, including the ahankara, the I sense, everything is mithya. Then what is satyam here? Upahitam Chaitanyam alone is satyam. Similarly, Ishvara upadhi, whole jagat is also what? Mithya. What we experience in the waking state is mithya. What we experience in dream is, of course, mithya. And even unmanifest also is what? Mithya. வாட் இஸ் சத்தியம் தென்? ஈஸ்வர உபகிதம் அலோன் இஸ் சத்தியம். ஈஸ்வர உபகிதம், ஜீவ உபகிதம், போத் ஆர் ஒன் அண்ட் ஒன்லி ட்ரூத் விச் அலோன் இஸ் சத்தியம். மித்யா மீன்ஸ் இட்ஸ் ஆஸ் குட் ஆஸ் நான் எக்ஸிஸ்டன்ட். தெர்ஃபோர் திஸ் இஸ் தி லெசன் வி சப்போஸ் டு லேர்ன் ஃப்ரம் திஸ். உபாதிஸ் ஆர் மித்யா, உபஹிதம் இஸ் ஒன். உபாதிஸ் ஆர் டிஃபரண்ட், உபஹிதம் இஸ் நான் டிஃபரண்ட். அண்ட் தட் உபஹிதம் இஸ் த ட்ரூத், எசென்ஷியல் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் எவ்ரி பீயிங், எவ்ரி திங், எவ்ரி ஜீவா, தி என்டையர் யூனிவர்ஸ் ஆர் ஈஸ்வரா இஸ் ஒன் அண்ட் த சேம். அலோன் இஸ் சத்தியம். திஸ் இஸ் தி teaching of the essence of the Vedantic teaching that is given in this mantra. So in second sentence you take only purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate. So purnam alone remains means what? Atma alone remains when jiva upadhi, okay, when you take the atma, உபாதி will disappear. Purnasya, from the jiva, if you remove the atma aspect, upahitam aspect intellectually, upadhi aspect will disappear. Just as when you remove the water from the form and name wave, you can't remove, just you understand. From the form and name wave, if you remove the water aspect, the form and name wave will disappear. Water alone will be there. Similarly, from the jiva, we remove the atma aspect, the upadhi aspect will disappear. Upadhi aspect cannot exist independently. Atma alone will continue to be there. So, purnam eva avasishyate means atma alone will continue to be there. So this from this the lesson learnt is upadhi is mithya, upahitam is chatthatyam. Upadhis are many, upadhis are different, whereas upahitam is non different one. Upahitam is satyam, upadhis are mithya. Mithya means as good as non existent. This is the lesson. Okay. So, Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om. Therefore here shanti also comes 3 times. So what is the prayer now? Therefore may the reality param brahma, the only reality of all the beings, the jivas and the total ishvara, free us from all forms of obstacles arising from all three sources of obstacles in terms of adhyatmika tapaha, adi devika tapaha, adi bhautika tapaha. Okay, now we enter into the Upanishad study. We won't even go to the mantra. Let's understand here. As I said already, in this Upanishad, the first part called Upadesha Kandaha, there are 2 chapters, and what subject matter here revealed happens to be the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, and the abstract reality. Therefore, because of the abstractness of the truth revealed here, Upanishad uses this very popular teaching methodology, a method of unfoldment called Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. In fact, you understand Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya only here properly. And so Prakriya, as you know already, Prakriya is a feminine gender word which means the method of unfoldment. So this methodology reveals the absolute reality, helps us arrive at the reality. So adhyaropaha is a word which means superimposition. What is the word superimposition mean here in this context? The word superimposition means gives different meaning in another context. In this context, superimposition means, adhyaropaha means, Upanishad's acceptance of the universe and its existence. Upanishad accepts the existence of the universe. And not only accepts the existence of universe, Upanishads also sees the universe as real in the beginning. Which means universe is accepted. When the universe is accepted as reality, real, and universe, the Upanishad talks about the universe as something created. Upanishad has to talk about the origin of the universe. When I say this is real, if I show something and tell you this is real, and you'll ask, oh, what is it made of? Where did you get it? Who made it? How was it made? All these questions will come, isn't it? If I show you something, if I tell you this is real, this is nice, immediately you'll ask the question, what is the origin? Where has it come from? It's very natural for us to ask questions like that. Similarly, here when Upanishad presents this Upanishad, this universe is real, this cosmos is real. So it means Upanishad itself accepts the existence of the universe. The Upanishad has to mention the origin of the universe, creation of the universe. So Upanishad discusses the creation of the universe. So it talks about the elements, elementals, the jivas, the means, the ends, the actions, and the laws which govern the results of actions. So all these varieties of various things which go with the creation are all discussed. So it's called sadhana, many sadhanani and sadhyani. Adhyaropa means the means and the ends. So this is all discussed in the, this all come under the topic of adhyaropaha. So the whole first chapter, the chapter in the first part of the Upanishad, there are two chapters. The first chapter discuss only adhyaropaha. The whole first chapter makes us accepts the universe and talks about the creation of the universe, talks about all the varieties of means and ends. Especially the means and ends discussed in the Upanishad, the Veda. The Vedic means and ends. So, Adhyaropaha is the subject matter of the first chapter. And the chapter is called here Brahmanam. In the chapter, we have many sections. There's a part. In the part, there's a chapter. In the chapter, there are many sections. And sections are called what now? Brahmanani. Brahmanam. So here, the first whole of the first chapter discuss only Adhyaropa is topic. Then, the very same Upanishad later on negates the universe. So, apavadaha means negation. Apavadaha means negation. Initially, Upanishad accepts the existence of universe. And later on, Upanishad negates the existence of universe. When Upanishad is negated, when Upanishad negates the universe, how does it negate? We'll see that. So the second chapter discusses the Apavadaha. So in this first Kanda called Upadesha Kandaha, in two chapters, one chapter is totally given to Adhyaropa subject topic. The second chapter is totally given to Apavada topic. By the time you finish the first chapter, the teaching would be over. You would have arrived at Brahman reality. So, whenever we use this Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, it is very important for us to know three important words. And you are all masters now. You know why? You have memorized the second chapter of Gita, has thoroughly gone into your head. And the 16th verse of Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, you know very thoroughly. So, for you, it is nothing. In fact, the source of the 16th verse of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is from this Upanishad only. What are the three words? Nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubhayorapi drishtontaha, tvanayos tattva darshibhihi. What are the three words you have to remember there? There you heard these two words, sat and asat. And Pujya Swamiji in his commentary makes it very clear. He also brings into the word mithya and tucham. So here, to understand the Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, thereby to enjoy the benefit of the teaching, we should remember the three important words. What are they? Satyam, mithya, tucham. Or you can say sat, asat, tucham. Sat, asat, and tucham. So sat is equal to satyam, mithya, asat is equal to mithya, and tucham is tucham. So here, what is sat, what is satyam? So satyam is that which is there always, which is ever existent reality. So beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless. Cause beginningless, therefore it is causeless. causeless, therefore it is independent. You have to say that. Beginningless, therefore causeless. Causeless, therefore independent. Beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless, therefore independent. You have to say why independent? Because causeless. How do you say it has no cause? Because it has no beginning. So, it has no end also. It is not able to change also. So, beginningless, endless, changeless, causeless, independent. Okay? Is what now? Sat. And this is called reality, real. Satya means absolutely real or absolute reality. Paramarthikam satyam. So what about this? Now what is tuchyam then? What is tuchyam? So tuchyam is that which does not exist at all. That which is never existent. That which does not exist at all is tuchyam, which is unreal. So satyam is real. Tuchyam is unreal. Now the question comes, what is this universe? Where can we fit this universe in? Can we bring this universe cannot fit, cannot be taken the category of the satyam. It cannot be categorized as unreal also because we're experiencing it. Our universe is what? Neither sat nor tuchyam. Therefore, we have to use the word what? It is neither real. It is not, universe is not real. Why it is not real? It has a beginning. It undergoes change. It has an end. And it has no independent existence. Therefore, it is not real. And it is not something non-existent. It is very much there. Therefore, it is neither unreal. I tell you, many English translations, universe is unreal. Read this translation. So universe is neither real nor unreal. Neither satyam nor tuchyam. If it is neither real nor unreal, isn't it? We called what? Mithya. That is especially another word is used, mithya. Which is beginning, which has an end, which has dependent existence, which is not real, which is neither unreal, therefore it has to be categorized, it has to be brought under the category of mithya only. Notice mithya. And mithya is called what? Vyavaharikam satyam. Satyam is paramarthikam satyam. Mithya is vyavaharikam satyam. So this vyavaharikam satyam is as good as non-existent. What is empirically real is as good as non-existent. It's not absolutely real. So in Apavada, the second chapter of the first part, the whole second chapter is the Apavada, universe is negated. Universe is negated as mithya. This negation of universe as mithya. When it is negated, everything is negated as mithya. The whole jagat is negated as mithya means the jagat includes one's own physical body. You have to include the physical body also as mithya. Include the pranas as mithya. Include the indriyani as mithya. Include the antakarma as mithya. include manaha, chittam, buddhi, everything with ahankara also is negated as mithya. What ahankara? Even the knowledge I am, even the I sense also is negated as mithya. What is satyam then? What cannot be negated? After negating everything as mithya, as part of the universe, what cannot be negated, what is non-negatable, alone is satyam. And I sense is negated. I alone remains non-negatably. And what is it? I non-negated. Because everything again is object, object, object. The subject alone is non-negated, not negated. Non-negatable as object. What cannot be negated as object is only subject. And the subject is what now? The experiencer, knower, I. If you understand what is this non-negatable as an object, subject is subject, and that subject, knower, experiencer is, if you search for and analyze what is this knower, experiencer, I, which is non-negatable as object, you helplessly, you choicelessly, you will stumble upon awareness, consciousness. And which alone is satyam. And that, then you analyze the nature of that conscious reality. You arrive at the reality as consciousness. You do not arrive at the consciousness. Okay, you arrive at the reality as consciousness. Very important to be using these words. There is no reality other than consciousness, you arrive at it. Then you analyze the nature of that reality, how it is of the nature of limitlessness, how it is of the nature of timelessness, how it is free from spatial limitation, how it is one. And there we have to, you get clear knowledge. And it is how, using the Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, Upanishad accepting the creation in the beginning, the same Upanishad helps us negate the universe also. Helps arrive at the truth Brahman. Therefore it's called what? Upadesha Kandaha. The whole thing, first two chapters. The first part. Because you already heard all these words here. You know, no technical term is new for you now. Very, 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 all these words are very simple. Satyam, Mithya, Tucham, Adhyaropaha, Apavadaha, this is a prakriya. And what is revealed. You understood everything very clearly already. When you come to this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, you are already well prepared for this Upanishad. Nothing is new here. With this understand background, we have to start the Upanishad. So it is said, Adhyaropa Apavadabhyam Nishprapancham prapanchyate adhyaropa apavadabhyam nishprapancham prapanchyate. which means through the Adhyaropa Apavada method, through the negation of universe, the reality is brought to light. And the question comes, why does Upanishad accept the universe? Why can't the Upanishad straight away tell us the fact, hey, come on, there is no universe. There's only Brahma. Why can't Upanishad straight away tell us? Why should the whole chapter Upanishad accept the universe and make us feel bored? Talking about the means and the ends, the rituals and actions, and why should it accept in the very beginning? Why should Upanishad spend so much of time in accepting the universe creation here? And talk about the creation of the universe, how, where the universe has come from, etc. Because Shankara Bhagavatpada says, if Upanishad straight away tells you the fact, oh, there is no universe, there is no jiva, there is no plurality, there is no duality, there are no divisions, all that is, there is only Brahma. And you are that Brahma, may you discover, ask the question, who am I? And discover who you are, you have discovered the truth. Upanishad could have said this. Upanishad has not said this. You know, make us have a nice story. You know, make us believe the way Upanishad describes. We'll think, oh my God, Upanishad, the world is so real. The same thing happened when? In Taittiriya Upanishad also. Tasmadva etasmad atmana akashas sambhutaha. Now all those mantras are talked, as you know, akashad vayu vayo ragni agni, all these discussions come, which means Upanishad says all these have been created. Had they been created? And they came one after the other. And first came the grass subtlest. Then finally came the subtlest, the grossest came the last. Like that, the discussions are there. Why? Shankara Bhagavatpada says, because we individuals, the human beings here, are born here, the very birth is because of the ignorance. Why are we born here? The very birth itself is because of the ignorance of the reality, truth. And ignorance of the truth obtains in every individual as the very ignorance of one's own self. The human being is, even though human being is exalted of the beings, human being is here with the self-consciousness. Therefore, human being is the most exalted of the beings. But still, human being is also, what now? Born with half ignorance. And this ignorance is what? Uncreated. Ignorance, nobody has created ignorance. Ignorance is a very natural thing. But this human being is blessed with the capacity to resolve the ignorance. You know, nobody has created the ignorance. Ignorance is. And blessed with the capacity to not undo, not to destroy, but resolve this ignorance. The human mind can question what this ignorance is all about by analyzing, understanding, you know, this. Understanding what the ignorance is, ignorance can be resolved. Ignorance also has to be resolved where? In the knowledge only, the truth only, reality. Whatever is must have this substratum. So ignorance should have its substratum. What is the substratum of the ignorance? You can't resolve the ignorance. And here, Shastram helps you resolve that ignorance. And Shastram presents the ignorance as the cause of your misery. Nobody will be interested in resolving the ignorance if we do not, if it is not the means of discovering one's happiness. Therefore, Upanishad shows us, it presents, it talks about the Purusharthas, it tells you about the happiness, and it makes you understand what is it one really wants, and thereby it shows, first of all, our own ignorance has to be, what now, revealed. Unless and until ignorance is revealed to us, we will not make efforts to question what this ignorance is, why this ignorance is, how this ignorance is, and thereby we cannot resolve the ignorance. And resolving the ignorance, what happens? You discover what you really, what you are. And then you discover what you are essentially, what your real nature is. And because we are born with this ignorance, We are born ignorant. An identity with the body, mind, sense complex is also what very natural. Because of the inseparable closest proximity of the I sense with the other thoughts in the mind, and in, because the closest proximity, inseparable proximity of the mind with the body and other subtle aspects. You cannot say, how, what is the distance between mind and the body? What is the distance between mind and the subtle body, subtle aspects? What is the distance between I sense and the mind? My God. They're inseparable, they're all different, but still they're all inseparably close. Therefore, identity, wrong identity is also very, very natural. And there's something called experience. And all our conclusions, human conclusions, are based on our experiences. So what is experienced is definitely real for us. You cannot think otherwise. You cannot say, oh, I'm experiencing something, therefore it is real. I'm perceiving something, therefore it is real. Our conclusions are based on our perceptions. Our inference is also based on our perceptions, our experiences. And for us, there is the experience itself is possible because of this body mentions complex. Therefore, this upadhi is so real for us. Identity being very strong, the division, duality is very real. I am different from every other being is very, very strong. Very deep-rooted understanding, conclusion. I am different from every other being. Every other being is different from every other being. And I am different from the whole world. World is different from me. And the world is of the plurality, multiplicity, and the duality. The duality is real. Plurality is real. Multiplicity is real. Differences are all real. Experiences are real. And the world is very real. All the objects of experience are very, very real. Therefore, this is how already our mind is set. So if Upanishad comes and tells us the world is mithya, it is as though real. Even I sense is as though real. Your body mind's complex is as though real. All relationships are mithya. All the experiences are mithya. If the Upanishad tells us, what will we say? I tell you, we will immediately, without a second thought, reject the Upanishad's study. We will ignore the Upanishad study. we will not accept the Upanishadic teaching. So Upanishad teaches us the diplomacy, prudence. You know, it says, accept other person's problems first. Then win the heart of the other person. Then make the other person very, very close person to you. Then you tell the other person these problems. Make him understand. Similarly here, Upanishad joins hands with us. First of all, Upanishad wants to win our hearts. Upanishad wants us to accept the Upanishad first. Unless we accept the Upanishads, we will not study Upanishads, then we will not see what exactly is Upanishadic teaching. We'll throw away the Upanishads. So to make the human mind accept Upanishadic teaching, Upanishad accepts our experiences. Upanishad accepts what is real for us as real. Once we accept the Upanishadic teaching, then Upanishad makes us see from your standpoint, from standpoint of your experiences, universe is real. It is not unreal. But the Upanishad takes us to another standpoint which we do not have. From a standpoint of the reality, Upanishad shows us the reality. And from the standpoint of reality, Upanishad makes us see the mithyatvam of the universe. The Upanishad says what? Yes, the universe is not unreal. It is not unreal. It is not real also. But Upanishad is as good as unreal, as good as non-existent, mithya, which shows us. When Upanishad takes us to a different standpoint, and from that standpoint, Upanishad shows us the mithyatvam, the universe being mithya, then we can accept. Why? Upanishadic teaching does not contradict our reasoning. Therefore, we accept it. Why it doesn't contradict our reasoning? Suppose Upanishad, in the very beginning itself, Upanishad starts speaking, telling us, whole jagat is not real. Mithya. Everything is mithya. Only Brahman is satyam. And you are that Brahman. If we say, it would have put us off. It would have really shunned our interest. Therefore, it's very important to sustain our interest and make us trust the Upanishad, accept the Upanishad, then Upanishad can make us accept its own teaching. This is the reason Upanishad does not straight away start teaching. Zadhyaropa Apavada Prakriya is really something very beautiful, because in the very beginning, completely being with us, accepting our perceptions, our conclusions, our experiences, our perceptions, everything as real from our standpoint. And Upanishad takes us to another standpoint which we do not know. That is where Upanishad is great. Nothing else, no other teaching can take us to another standpoint. from which we can see something differently, to have a different perspective. Then Upanishad does. That is why Upanishad is Upanishad. That's why this knowledge comes from Sakshat Bhagavan. So this is how Upanishad begins, and we will start the first mantra from the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.